In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'd like to speak to you this morning about finding peace in life. Finding a sense of peace, of groundedness, of being really centered down, with a sense of awareness that you're in God's presence, and with a sense of readiness to be able to do the things that God calls you to do. And one of the things that comes as a surprise for many people is that the purpose of the Christian life is union with God. It's not necessarily figuring out God. God's a mystery. It's about seeking union. It's about seeking intimacy with God. Now, that was lost on me for about 30 plus years, even though I was so devout in my church-going life. I got very interested in religion, and I thought if I could just sort of figure out God, that would sort of really take me to that place of communion with God. And so I studied religion in college, and I went off to Yale, and I studied theology. One afternoon, someone came to me, and they said, "Chip, I'd love for you to join us in the Henry Nouwen Chapel at the very bottom of the Marquand Chapel at Yale Divinity School." I said, "I'd love to go. What time's the service?" He said, "5 a.m. I said, "I love God, but I'm not sure how much... But I decided to go. And what I saw was arresting. I walked into the stone chapel, and there were 35 Korean Presbyterians sitting before an icon in this candlelit chapel. It stopped me. I centered down. And I began to realize there was a dimension to my life that I had yet to really deepen and to discover. Whenever someone comes to me, to my office in my church, and says that they're having a crisis of faith, I ask them what they're practicing. Because generally, a crisis of faith is not necessarily just a crisis of belief, our belief in God. It's a crisis of practice. What are you practicing? What are you doing in your daily life? What has hold of your mind and in your heart? Every day, whatever we do is our practice. And the invitation is to begin to think about how to integrate the spiritual life and the devotional life into our everyday life so that our Christian practice is our central practice. So what's the state of your peace this morning? With all that you've been thinking through, all that you've been living through during this turbulent time, I want to suggest a practice, a Sabbath practice, that you may find very meaningful. It has three components to it. The first is stopping and resting. The second is remembering. And the third is re-engaging. So let's think about each of these for a moment. Let's start with rest. How often do you truly rest? And by that, pushing away everything to simply be. The Irish poet David White says, believe it or not, there are five stages of rest. The first stage is a sense of stopping, of giving up on what we've been doing and how we've been doing it. The second stage is a sense of slowly coming home. The physical journey into the body is uncoerced, unbullied, as if we're trying to remember the way, even the destination itself. The third stage is a sense of healing, of self-forgiveness, and arrival. The fourth stage is the breathing practice of giving and taking, of recentering, of asking for the incarnation of Christ to come into our hearts and into our lives. And the fifth stage is a sense of readiness and presence and delight in what is to come. I can't tell you how many times I have not gotten through the first stage. But isn't it interesting to think that there might be dimensions of stopping and resting that we have not yet to discover, that if we were to discover, could be so profoundly restorative? The second is remembering. So often, when we're going through difficult times, as we have with the pandemic, as we continue to go through with the pandemic, our focus becomes on other things because it needs to be. And before we know it, we have forgotten about God. We experience a kind of amnesia. And as a result of that, there is no real intimacy. We begin to feel isolated and alone. I must do it all myself. And I must do it faster, faster and faster, and better and better and better. We become vigilant, and then we become hyper-vigilant. And we lose our way. One of the interesting things that happened when the Israelites traveled to the desert is whenever they felt anxiety and worry about where they were going and what would happen, the tribal leader would stop and would light a fire and would help them remember. Remember what God has done for you. Remember how God led us through the desert wilderness. Remember how God provided for us the fish, the manna. Remember. And so here, when we celebrate the Eucharist, we say, do this in remembrance of me. And the word remembrance means God's presence with us, you see. And so as we remember, we cultivate consciousness. We cultivate the incarnation of Christ into our lives. And it recenters us and gives us the confidence to really trust in God. And then, re-engaging. Now, the kind of re-engaging that I'm talking about is not the sort of Stephen Covey, sharpen your iron, be more efficient, be smarter, work faster. It's the re-engagement into life with a sense of purpose, but also with a new awareness of how we're called to live our life with Christ. We remember what has happened to us. We remember what we've lost. And we recommit to focusing on our devotional life every single day. Every single day. There's a saying, don't tune your violin at the end of the symphony. You tune it at the beginning by saying, Lord, you have blessed me with this new day. Help me to live in you and you live in me. Give me the strength that I need today. And then maybe about noon, you say, oh, Lord, it's slipping, Lord, it's slipping. Help me to center my life in you. And then in the evening, we might say, Lord, that was quite a day. There was a lot that I'd hoped that would happen, and then there's a lot that didn't happen. And there's some things that are really on my heart that I'm a little worried about. And I give them to you. Come away and to understand. understand that before there can be any activity, any soulful activity, any positive activity, there must be a deep spirituality. And as we cultivate the spirituality through our devotional life, we come home to God. And God is able to do in us what we cannot do for ourselves, which is to give us the healing and the peace that we need. I want to conclude with a poem that really is about losing our way, as we all do, but ultimately about coming home. It's called Love After Love. The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each will smile at each other's welcome and say, sit, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself. Give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you your whole life, whom you ignored, for another who knows your heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit. Feast on your life. Feast on your life. Feast on the gift that is your life. Amen.